You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moya Ritzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
And now, Rischa Daraisa, coming your way. Get ready.
Shalom. I have my hat in hand. I'm embarrassed. With Rabbi Bechhofer, I launched into what can definitely be seen as an attack on Rabbi Tzvi Kushelevsky, his Rebbetzin, and all the hoopla surrounding what he calls the Ness. And it is clearly, of course, the Nisim Sheru that we see Bechol Yom V'Yom. I have to say that the points that I made in my conversation were all addressed. I don't know if they were all addressed satisfactorily, but he addressed them in the interviews that were published in Ami and in Mishpacha magazine. There was also, I note, a insert in the Mishpacha magazine where his wife, the mother of the baby, was able to be interviewed, and she described what was going on between them and what ideas of Emunah. And Rav Tzvi, in the interview, talks about his desire to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. He refers to his lack of Yeyush, his belief in the Rabbeinu Sholem, and it was moving to read that. And I, therefore, still stand by the fact that I believe that this event should have been a more private one. I respect Reb Tzvi's desire to turn this into a way to give childless couples hope. In his mind, to be mefarsim, the Ness, and therefore not to allow it even to be turned into a fundraising event for the yeshiva, as he says specifically, and that it should be understood as the Nefleis HaBayre. I just believe that Klal Yisrael, or at least the Haredi world, can take this and see it as something that is just a symbol of God's Rotzei now, and this is the simonim of Geula. And I've talked to a number of people who have said this is one of the reasons why this story generated so much excitement. So, you know, the conversation, I believe, can still be heard by you, but I do want to say that I don't believe that Rachel Kushelevsky considers herself dehumanized by her relationship with the Rosh Hashiva Reb Tzvi. And you know what? Let us know what you think of the conversation anyway. Here it is. The story that has been on the front page of all the yeshiva websites, the matzav.com, the yeshivaworld.com, Miracle of Amuna of Reb Tzvi Kushelevsky, who is an incredible Magid Shir, who I have heard about for years. I haven't had the schus to hear Tayer from him, but I know that he is a wonderful Magid Shir. He was a part of the great American Renaissance period in Beis HaTalmud many years ago when they had a all-star lineup with Reb David Schwartzman and Reb Yochanan Zweig and Reb Tzvi Kushelevsky and others. He is the son, of course, of the Malanter Yilui, who was the Rav in Be'er Sheva. Also, actually, he was a rabbi in Paterson, New Jersey, too, his father. And, of course, he is the nephew of Rav Leib Gurwitz.
Nephew? Wasn't his son-in-law by the first marriage?
Oh, So he was the nephew and son-in-law, yes, and that is true. Ratzvi Kushalevsky married his first cousin, and she unfortunately was a nifteres. After his wife was a nifteres, I believe in 2015, a number of years later, Ratzvi Kushalevsky remarried. And it was on Tu B'Av, I believe in 2017, that he remarried an American woman. Again, it's interesting because in the reports about her, you have to search long and hard to find her name. In the papers, she's called Giveret Danieli. So I'm not sure if Giveret, I assume Giveret is just another way of saying Mrs. And Mrs. Danieli. And of course, on Tu B'Av, there was a chasana that was held in the yeshiva, with the Seder Kedushin being done by none other than the Gaivad himself, Rav Moshe Sternbach, who gave his brochos that this would be a zivug that would actually produce children. Now, this second marriage, I think his wife was past 50 years old, and I've heard from people in the know that there were actually, before this miracle child that was born about a week and a half ago, there were two attempts. I think that the only way she could conceive, I believe, was through in vitro. And I think there was one child that died, and then there were twins that were actually she had begun to carry that also died. So this was on the third chance. This was the one that produced his son. Did you get the name of this miracle baby?
Elio.
And this has been a story that has lit the yeshiva world on fire, as I said. Thousands of people streamed to be there for the Sholem Zohar, and the bris itself was live-streamed around the world. And then I think that, you know, people have compared this situation to Avraham Avinu, and of course having a child even at a younger age with Yishmael, and here was Reb Tzvi Kushalevsky, clearly still with Gvuras Hanoshim, being able to have a child in this incredible way. I'm going to, before we start taking our shots at him, I will give him credit for the shevach and hoidah that he gave to the doctors involved, because clearly this was a very complex, complicated situation. I should also say, by the way, Mrs. Danieli, Mrs. Kushalevsky, the former Danieli, had children from a previous marriage, but as Rav Kushalevsky indeed pointed out, that these doctors are clearly agents of God in terms of what they're able to produce and be able to bring children to the world of childless couples. It is something that we have to indeed marvel at. All that being said, and again, giving him all his props, I am very unsettled by a lot of this story, as I know you are. I'll let you begin, and why don't you take your first shot here?
I don't think I'm so unsettled. As you may think I am, I think it's an amazing concept of becoming a father at 88. I can't conceive of it being at 62. But I don't see it as a miracle so much. The Almighty obviously gave men power to be fertile into old age. If any, obviously it's much more miraculous on the part of the woman who was 56 years old. So it was inside. The question is a question of, do we say that once you have technology, then there's still an ethical issue, or is it just a halachic issue? And I think there are, because the question is, taking some halachic perspective, there's no iser, there's no prohibition. There might be a mitzvah purvu, which extends now into an older age than it did previously. The question is then, it becomes the question of whether there's ethics independent of halacha. The question of, you know, whether an 88-year-old man is going to be able to properly raise a child. There's a famous story, I believe you can correct me about the details, that when the Netziv's youngest child, Reb Meir Bar Ilan, when his third wife was born, and Netziv was already older, I don't think he was 88, the mother refused to let the boy go to the bris until the Netziv promised to be by his bar mitzvah. And Blaise Brera, the Netziv, promised to be the bar mitzvah. And Kachavi, the Netziv made it to the bar mitzvah, and it was nifted shortly thereafter. So I don't know if such a beta was made by the mother in this case, but that's the question. Again, is there where the ethics seem to be an issue, where it's likely that a child will not necessarily have a father figure like him. And also, even if he does, I can't see Bertie going out and playing catch with his kid in the backyard.
I don't know if he had a chiyuv of pruravu, despite the medical situation. Clearly, extraordinary means.
Well, it's not because the CTLA as a whole is no chiyuv pruravu by IVF. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, because if you have to use in vitro, then that's already.
I don't know Shlomo Zalman agreed with CTLA about that.
I think especially if someone had already been mishtado when is in his 80s, I can't believe any poisek would say that Reb Tzvi had a chiyuv to find a woman in order to be able to mekayim this mitzvah. I think most poiskim would say that he was potter and to be makabel the
gzeira. I don't know if it's a chiyuv, but it still could be a chiyuv.
Yeah, Kiyum, yes, but he's not going to be Makayim Puravu Agamri till he has another child. He has to have a girl to be Makayim okay. Two children. All right, so now we have to wait for another. Are they going to stave off the menopause for
By the way, we can talk about the longness of Chatashir by Puravu, right?
You know, yeah, okay, yes. So again, a Mikzas Kiyum is, I don't think it's a Kiyum. I think when it comes, Chatzi Shir makes sense when you're talking about a mahus of an Isser or a mitzvah, possibly. You know, that's Chatzi Shir by mitzvahs. It's a scholar question.
I'd really clear about matzah. If there's any mitzvah having a half gezeis of matzah, if you can't eat more,
that raid is as old as
matzah.
Yes, as old as the matzahs that have been made the way the Ashkenazim have been making it for years. I would assume that you're not Makayim the mitzvah till you actually have Lashevis, or what Lashevis means, which is a male and a female that represent the world. And that really is a good segue, because I understand, I had a father who lost his first wife and was looking for companionship and looking for someone to live with. Someone, as he said, to trink an agus kavimit, right? But was that Reb Tzvi's intention, marrying this woman, 30 years his junior?
Well, I said Rabbi Sternberg gave him a bracha when he got married. He didn't have Zara Shul Kayama.
Right. But what was he looking for? He was looking for a female that could possibly be the recipient of his Zeret in order to have a child. To me, there's a dishumanizing of the situation. It's one thing, yes, I saw the way Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zochreinu Vrocha, was with his second wife. And he talked about it. He talked about, and he was so loving and caring. But I am shocked to say, Reb Tzvi was lonely, and this was the woman that was the most tsugepast for him. This was like a woman that he could help take care of him and give him companionship. This clearly was about the frustrations of not having a child. I'm going to find a woman. And the woman, similar to the wife of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, saw herself as a kli for a holy individual using her and together being able to bring life into the world for this incredible goyin / tzaddik. I just have a hard time, wrapping my head around that. Don't you feel that this is a sort of a way of objectifying to the greatest extent another person? He went to a shadchan and they put on the profile like what is likes or dislikes.
If that was really his intent, then he would have married a woman who was a lot younger.
Look, it would have been unseemly for him to marry a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old. That would have been already, come on, who are you, the Baba Sali already? Like, who are you? Like Boaz and Ruth. I mean, this is already beyond. So it had to at least be something
After you built up Reb Tzvi and his Shir and his learning, they're pretty coming down and pretty hard.
Look, you know, when it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. What else is this? What else is this? Again, the whole idea of the chasana with the bracha of Zeret Shel Kayama, you should have menuchas hanefesh. You should have someone, right? This was clearly about finding her. And then, obviously, she willfully submits to it. But, again, talk about
Maybe she wanted to have another child. Come on.
The Chazon Ish was against pushing someone to say a Dvar Torah when he didn't want to say a Dvar Torah. Can you imagine the type of pressure once the marriage was suggested to her, what she had to go through to be ma'afshadis? And why, you know, again, you know, she's the hero of the story. This could have been a private thing, but this was turned into Klal Yisrael Simcha. No, it's like the Simcha of Klal Yisrael. It's like it's a simon of the Geula. It all seems quite strange. I was happy to see Reb Tzvi dancing, and I'm happy that the Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter gave him koyach. I just don't know if this should be Klal Yisrael's story. I think it's a bit unseemly, and I think it's the type of thing that should have perhaps been under wraps.
I don't know if you such a thing under wraps. I think that would have been for Fallon.
There was no attempt to say, oh, it's something that Ba'ifon Sinua. Everybody knew that these attempts were happening. The child was born. It was like a parade of the Olam by the yeshiva, and everybody was called in, and the videos go viral. To me, this is something that, again, this is a choice. I'm not going to judge Reb Tzvi on it, but once it becomes in the public domain and it becomes the symbol of the Rabbeinu Shalom's love for us, and that somehow maybe this Eliyahu is the Eliyahu, is Mavasar Mashiach, I think all of this is way beyond what we should be concentrating on.
I would not be so harsh. I understand the concern that it's
look, the child will be taken care of. Listen, no matter what, and we all know of children. You mentioned Meir Bar Ilan, who sort of made a career of being the Netziv's son, despite the fact of probably not learning too much from him. I would even quote in this regard, you know, Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, who was also born to the Rambam when the Rambam was at somewhat of an advanced age, and although was a witness to many things of the Rambam, didn't have the learning experience with the Rambam the way even some of the other Talmud, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Ankin and others did. We definitely have children that were raised in the shadow of great men that they never knew. And I'm sure this is Rachanimo, Rabbi Elio Kushelevsky will always have the support and strength of a family and Talmidim. But I do believe there's something to what you said before, the ethics of producing a child that you know you aren't going to be able to raise fully and completely.
I don't know if Rosh Yeshiva get up in the middle of the night to change diapers either, even when they're younger. So it's a different type of contract between the mother and the father, and perhaps in raising a child in a family like that. I'm sure Rebbe's, can you imagine Skver Rebbe when he was having gotten up to change his child's diaper in the middle of the night? I don't even know if the mother got up to change the diaper in the middle. my great aunt, she once went with her sister, Rebbe Tzimchanukov, Leah Shalom, to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe's wife. Friedrich Rebbe's wife. They had Meshorsim in the house. The Friedrich Rebbe's wife did not know how to cook or anything of the sort. This is all done by the Meshorsim. So, and I stand in the Square Rebbe's house. What other Rebbe's like that sort? There are many more and elaborate Meshorsim and Meshorsos. So, it's kind of like a Victorian governess situation. I don't know how these are not families like yours and mine.
We mentioned, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, how the Litvashe Gedolim Manhigim, they taka, the Rebbetzin was the cook. The Rebbetzin was I remember Rebbetzin Shmulevitz. She not only was the cook for Rav Chaim, she was the cook for the whole yeshiva. You know, and again, I can't say, you know, Krushelevsky, obviously, you know, he's from the Litvashe Rabbonim. There's no question about it. And I guess one last point. Clearly one could say, you know, as you say, the Rotzen to be Makayim a Mitzvah. Someone who was maimed talmidim, like Reb Tzvi, who aren't just, you know, they pass through his shir, and like you and I can say, oh, that guy was in, we worked with him a long time ago. As I said before, people were makabel their derech. He shaped the minds, the hearts, the derech halimud, the hadrocha of so many. V'shnamdu vanecha, you know, vanecha ewa talmidim. You think Reb Tzvi was chaser something? He was well known about not being just charismatic, but giving and loyal. And to be maimed deiris of Talmidim, it seems like he shouldn't even be missing this regesh of bringing a son and being moderate, because he's not going to do that for this one. This is pashut about doing the physical mitzvahs of bringing a child out of your loins.
LeBron never wanted to pull any punches.
Yeah, I'm saying he's had he has his sons. He has scores of sons, more sons than the most Hasidic family in New Square have. The children who love him and care for him, who call him Rebbe, who say their whole derech and learning comes from him, the ones that he's been Masada Kedushin for, the ones that he's been a Sandik for, et cetera, et cetera. It seems strange to me that this man should have this halal within him, that he feels that he's missing that child. As beautiful as it is, the image of him holding that baby, I think it's something that should give us pause. And once it becomes, you know, this public event, I think it's fair game for, you know, even people who love everything that he's done in his life in terms of his Mesiras Nefesh, you know, to expose him to the fires of Rischa Daraisa.
I like to bring up a last idea, which just came to my WhatsApp, which is an interesting idea, but it's not relevant to this term. Well, which is that in the big three, Ponovich, Hevron, and Mir, part of the whole game in the yeshiva world, in Ponovich, there's going to be a special night seder with 2,000 bachrim, after the Megillah. In Hevron, they're canceling their massive masiba. They're going to have a special Purim seder. And in Mir Brachfeld, they're going to have a 3-hour seder after Kriyas HaMegillah.
And Mir, so this is great. This is a way to recognize that we are in a Shas Chirum and a Shas Tzara. Let me take a swipe at someone that I love taking swipes at. Yeah, Slifkin, of course. So this morning, Slifkin felt, with a sigh of regret, there is a song, a new Am Yisrael Chai song that so many people love, and it's all about being together and the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. And there's a 31-second clip, and it's basically a clip of a Haredisha, three Haredisha boys dressed half in a Chayal's soldier outfit with a gun hanging from their shoulder. And the other side, they are dressed in white and black with tzitzis hanging out, holding a sefer. And the three boys are looking lovingly into the camera while this song sings about Am Yisrael Chai and how Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is so important. And they're saluting. They're saluting in a military fashion. And Slifkin says that this video is very offensive to families whose children are serving. It once again equalizes the sense that the B'nai Torah and the soldiers are equal and are also contributing in their burden for the community, when actually that's so patently untrue. And therefore, he needs to call this video out as being deeply offensive, and that no one should look at it as a positive step towards Achdus. It's not real Achdus. It's really an offensive spit in the face to the families who have loved ones who are serving under the threat of death. So this was Slifkin's tirade this morning. We have been fierce critics of Rav Feldman. We've been fierce critics of Rav Dov Landau. No one is going to accuse us of towing the Haredi line in Eretz Yisrael. However, when something like this happens, when a video like this is developed and people are giving it the thumbs up, see it as a positive. Okay. Yes, there's still an aspect of together the B'nai Torah are doing their part, and what a person should be is an equal part yeshiva bacher and an equal part a soldier. I agree. There's no room to really be chest thumping, but at least see it as something positive. At least see it that this is a move that the Haredish world is finally coming to recognize. Just as the thing that you mentioned about we're going to have a special Seder for what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, what's happening to our young people that are in a threat, for the people who are still captive. Yes, it's very important that we learn who Adin, if there is.
I had not seen the video, but as you're talking, I just looked it up on Slifkin's blog, and it's a beautiful video. Okay, Slifkin's Parnassa is pirud and divisiveness. You know, in his first paragraph, second paragraph after the video, writes, yes, it's better than the rabbi, the Peleg faction declared he'd rather have his children, grandchildren, Murbach Hamas to join the IDF. He's the same as the rabbi, the Peleg faction. They both make their they're so to speak, living in a figurative sense from pirud, from arrogant statements, from divisiveness. That's matzaminus mino.
Yes, so I really can't agree with you more. And it's such a waste of a fine scientific mind that Slifkin has. And he's a great polemicist. And he is, but this is, again, an example. Again, he probably doesn't listen to Risco D'Araisa, and maybe people will tell him about it. Applaud when you see something that's positive and say, okay, I believe you still have a way to go. But the way you encourage, the coach says, good progress. This video is to me a progress which indicates, along with what you're saying, that there is possible this achdus. And Echinami, we should be able to say, Chever, whether you listen to this, you're going to listen to this after Purim, but still, it should be to be Soymech, Mamish, Gula, Gula. And maybe these are Taka great simonim. The miracle child of Kushelevsky, Nunu. But the fact that great swaths of the B'nai Eretz Yisrael are coming to recognize the sacrifice and the importance of their not so Haredi brothers and sisters and families, that's something which is something that needs to be celebrated, recognized. Takas pamoine ula. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Be well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.